me richly as a gospel preacher. I have some of the greatest opportunities of any preacher in the brotherhood. 2 weeks ago tonight, you remember we had almost 500 teenagers here who were here for Horizons. And tonight, unexpectedly, with the group that came in, almost 100, I suppose over 100 teenagers here with our young people, to be able to have our group of young people in the audience on a regular basis and the students when they're here, along with so many other things, gives me what I consider to be one of the greatest opportunities and responsibilities and challenges that any gospel preacher could have. There's no way that we can know this side of the judgment the effect that a group of young people like these that are seated here at the front tonight can have as they go in different ways, and some of them preach and teach and become elders and deacons and wives of elders and deacons and preachers and Bible class teachers. What a tremendous impact these lads to leaders. And that not only describes this specific group, but I think in a sense all of our young people who are preparing themselves to work in the Lord's kingdom. I did not know we were going to have this many young people when I planned the lesson for tonight, but I'm glad that I'm preaching the lesson I'm preaching. The title of the lesson is rather lengthy. And I want to assure some of you that the length of the title doesn't necessarily describe the length of the sermon. So some of you that will be worrying about that, just relax, and we'll get along all right on that point. I would introduce the lesson tonight by using a scripture and a story. The scripture is in Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. On one occasion, a captain of a rather large ship with several people on it, at a certain time during the afternoon, looked at his barometer. He noticed that the reading on the barometer had fallen very, very fast and very, very far, an indication that there was a storm on the horizon. He walked to the side of the ship and looked in the direction from whence the storms usually came, and he could see nothing but sunshine. He said to himself, there must be something wrong with the barometer. He went back and looked at the barometer again, and it had gone down even further. Most of you are aware that a barometer measures barometric pressure, and when that needle goes down fast and goes way down, it is an indication of a storm. It had gone down farther. He went back to the side of the ship. He looked again, got his binoculars, and looked as far as he could see. There was no cloud. There was no indication whatsoever of a storm. He called some of his trusted advisors on the ship and explained to them the situation and had them look. And it was their combined opinion that there was no storm, that there was something wrong with the barometer. And so the captain took the barometer and smashed it against the deck. About an hour later, one of the worst storms that had ever been in that part of the world came up. It literally tore the ship apart to the extent that they were just barely able to keep it from sinking. A few of the people lost their lives. Others were injured. One of the worst storms that had ever happened. And after it was over, the captain who survived wrote the story, and he entitled it, "You Can Smash the Barometer, But You Can't Steal the Storm." Here is a case of a man who was doing exactly what's mentioned in Proverbs 3:5. What is warned against, really, in that passage? He says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not upon thine own understanding." If we're going to look at the barometer and not believe it and trust our own eyes, we may very well have the storm. If we're going to listen to those, even those whom we trust, and take their feelings and their conclusions instead of what the barometer says, we may very well find ourselves in the path of the storm. Now, I want to apply this tonight as far as life is concerned, and especially in some of the moral areas of life. Young people particularly, listen to me and think with me for a few minutes. God has given us a barometer. He has told us in this book what will happen when we go contrary to his laws. has also, thank goodness, told us what will happen when we live by his teachings. He has shown us in clear language what can happen. And in that passage that we read a moment ago, gave us a very great principle, a very important principle, based on the laws of nature, that when you sow, you're going to reap. And God's not going to be mocked. You and I need to be careful about being deceived. Many times today, it is easy for us to turn to the Bible and to say, oh yes, I know God's word says that. But then we raise our eyes and we look out to the horizon of life and we say, it just could not be that bad. It just could not happen that this will be the result if I allow myself to violate these points. Oh, yes, I know the barometer says it. But I look out there and I just cannot see the storm. And I've talked to people that have told me that there is no storm, that there is no problem. And so I'm just going to smash the barometer. I'm going to close my Bible and listen to my own feelings and my own eyesight. And the advice that's given to me by others, I just don't believe that I can get into those problems, that I can have those difficult times come to me. In addition to this book, I believe, young people, that God has given us parents, in a sense, as a barometer. Parents whose needle is set to register the high and the low, who, because of their experience, know what can happen if we go low. And what can happen if we live on a high plane? And yet it is so easy for us as youngsters, and those of us that are older went through the same temptations, maybe made some of the same decisions that those that are younger today face. But it's so easy sometimes to say, oh, Dad and Mother are old fogey. They don't know what they're talking about. They're living in another generation. They don't understand the end thing. And so I'm not going to listen to that barometer. I know Dad and Mother have told me that if I live this kind of life, this will be the end result. And if I do certain things with my body or I take certain things into my body, I can face problems. But I look around me and I don't see that. I don't understand it that way. And so sometimes we smash the barometer of Dad and Mother and don't listen to them. And I think to some extent that happens sometimes with those of us that preach the gospel. I hear people sometimes talking about preacher talk. When we preachers discuss some of those things that are condemned in the Word of God, and I hope we don't allow ourselves to just talk about the things that are condemned. We need to talk about the things that are promoted too. But sometimes when we say to you, younger generation, those of you that are older too, here are some things that are not good. And if you allow yourself to go in this direction, then here's what you can expect. Sometimes people will say, oh, that's preacher talk. I've had that said about sermons that I've delivered. I particularly remember having preached down through the years on two subjects and have had people say, oh, that's just preacher talk. One of them has been the subject of dancing. The other has been the subject of immodest apparel. The people have said, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. That's just a preacher saying these things. Could it be that sometimes God uses those of us who are preachers and those of us who teach classes and those of us who have studied enough to at least have the needle set in the appropriate position of understanding relative to the storms of life? Could it be that God uses us sometimes as barometers? And could it be that sometimes we may be smashing the barometers and not listening to what they tell us? And because of that, literally have the storms on the horizon. Let me share with you four or five areas where I believe this is happening. And before I do that, let me admit to you and the younger generation that we're living at a time that is rather confusing. It's confusing even to those of us who are a bit more experienced. It's hard to understand sometimes as we listen to the language that's being used, exactly what people are talking about and what they mean. Let me give you an example. Most people today call adultery an affair. Fornication is an experience. Whether on a television program or in some other setting, two people not married to each other, in bed with one another fulfilling their lust, are said to be making love. The homosexual is referred to as having an alternate lifestyle. The prostitute is a lady of the evening. A lady of the evening. Gambling is a game. Drunkenness is a disease. A lie is a white fib. Stealing is something that the company will write off, and cheating is just looking out for number one. Now, I'll admit to you that I can understand how some of these things can be confusing. If we'd get back to call Bible things by Bible names and let Bible things be what they are, the Bible still says adultery and fornication and effeminate and drunkenness and lying and stealing, and calls sin what it is, and shows us where the needle is on the barometer and what is indicated by some of these things. For example, the barometer says if you don't take care of your body, you're going to suffer. If you take things into your body that harm it, that do away with the brain cells, maybe affect the heart and the lungs, you're going to suffer. You're going to have the storm of suffering. 1 Corinthians 6, about verses 16 through 20, teach us to flee fornication, and says if we join ourselves to a harlot, we're one with the harlot, and after discussing that, then warns us about the body and keeping it pure, and says it's the spirit, it's the place where the Spirit of God dwells. And then in 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17, here's the barometer that is so clear. He says, if you destroy the body, God's going to destroy you. And you read these passages along with Galatians 6, 7, and 8. And the barometer of God's word says, if you take into your body alcohol and other drugs, you're going to pay the price. And even our government has become involved in some warnings. When you pick up a magazine and you see the advertisements for cigarettes and related products, there has to be a warning. There is a barometer there that is telling you what the storm can be on down the line. And though it's hard to understand how we can allow the advertisements for alcohol on television even to bring on our Olympics, the President's Commission a few years ago identified alcohol as the number one problem, and we have proof that just a few beers can affect the brain cells, if nothing else. And you know the other problems. Now here's the barometer saying, if you take into your body those things that harm it, and you allow your body to be used by someone for the fulfillment of lust, someone to whom you're not married, you're going to suffer the consequences. And folks, there's never been a time in my lifetime when this barometer has been plainer. We have never yet faced anything like the problem of AIDS. I don't think there's a one of us who has begun to understand what the reading on the barometer is and what the storm on the horizon is. And you debate it up one side and down the other, and it still comes back to the final conclusion that the biggest part of the problem has been brought about because of failing to read the barometer of God's word relative to purity. Now, you can smash the barometer. The political people can appeal to the gays. Our Congress can pass laws that recognizes their rights. And one of these days, some of us may not live long enough, if things continue, we may see Sodom and Gomorrah over. You can smash the barometer, but you can't still the storm. Think with me for a moment about the mind. God's word, parents, preachers, others who care for you, young people, have told you down through the years you fill your mind with filth, and your mouth will be filled with filth, and your life will be filled with filth. Matthew 15, 18 says, what comes out of the mouth comes out of the heart, and this is what defiles a man. And there is ample proof being given to us from many researches right now that show that much of our crime, especially against young children, is brought about because of pornography. And what people are listening to in music as well as looking at in pictures and reading in stories. We're beginning to have barometers other than God's word tell us these things. And yet some of our young people in the church and older ones alike, I want to be fair with you, it's not limited to the younger generation, are listening to songs that promote drugs and illicit affairs almost from beginning to end. That's what they're humming. That's what they're singing. That's what they're thinking. It's especially a problem at the time when the hormones are changing and the appetites are building up. Appetites that are clean and pure in and of themselves for the desire for love and companionship in the sanctity of the home, and yet fulfilled in many other ways because of the power of things like this in the minds of every generation, but especially our younger generation. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You cannot pour coffee in a glass and pour milk out of it. And you and I, at my age or your age, whether you're older or younger, cannot pour filth into our minds and constantly let purity come out of our mouths and out of our lives. And you can say to yourself, oh, it won't matter. I can do these things. I can let all these things go into my mind. I'm strong enough. I can affect it. And you don't listen to the barometer. You can smash the barometer, but you can't steal the storm. Even the laws of our land fit into this pattern. There's the barometer of the speed limit that's put up on the side of the road that says you ought not to go faster than this. The law of the land tells us if you go faster, you can be punished, and if you go faster, you may kill yourself or somebody else. And we even had a car donated to our Tennessee Highway Patrol a while back that would go 150, 60 miles an hour so nobody could get away from them. What thinking? And all of these things are there. Laws of the land are passed to try to say to us, as is said even in the Bible, that the rulers in the land are for good and they're against evil. And you and I ought to obey the laws of the land, not only for rest's sake, but for conscience' sake. And yet we get behind the wheel of a car and we take off all up the road and we think the speed limit applies to everybody else but us. And mine will hug the road. I can make that curve, you see. Oh, yes, I've been warned. They've told me about the curve. I know it's there, but, oh, I can make it. And I don't. And one time is all it takes to snuff out a life. You can smash the barometer. You can mock at the policeman. You can say the speed limit doesn't mean anything. But you cannot still the storm of the laws of nature. That there are just some forces that get into effect when you start around a curve. I believe this also applies and related to these points in the area of our associates. The Bible says, be not deceived. Evil companionship corrupts good morals, or evil communications corrupt good manners. Those verses translated in different ways. Dad and mother, as a barometer, say, where are you going tonight? With whom are you going to be associated? Oh, why in the world do they have to know? It's not going to make any difference. I wish I could share with you some stories tonight of young people that have sat down across from my desk and told me some of the differences that it did make. They didn't intend when they left home to get into a problem. They thought they were strong enough that they could withstand all the peer pressure. And let me pause long enough right here to say something to you that's very important. Peer pressure can be for good as well as for bad. And I think what's happening in our midst tonight and what we see around us is good peer pressure. But if we associate with those that do not respect honesty and decency and the things that are legal, and have no respect for the Word of God, and have no respect for your body and your mind, and here's the barometer of God's Word says, there's a storm there on the horizon if you don't watch it. And you say, oh, it doesn't matter, and you just smash the barometer. You cannot steal the storm. There are some laws of nature that are facts. And they're going to work, whether it's you or whether it's me. And there are some laws of relationships that are just as true as they can be. And you and I can ignore them. But we cannot escape them. When it comes to your body and your mind and your associates and your life, and what your life can mean to you, oh yes, you can smash the barometer. You can say the Bible doesn't mean it. Dad and mother don't know what they're talking about. It's preacher talk or teacher talk. It won't happen to me. You can smash the barometer, but but you cannot still the storm. There's one other area where I want to apply the principle tonight and ask you to think seriously. And that's in the area of putting off, having ourselves right with God and with each other and being ready to go to heaven if the storm of death were to come upon the scene tonight. You see, the Bible warns us, and we constantly warn each other, that if we die outside of Jesus Christ, we're lost. Now, that's a barometer. Jesus said, for example, in John 8:24, if you die in your sin, if you except you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. In verse 21, if you die in your sins where I am, you can't come. Oh, now, does He really mean that? A fellow went out and took a poll a while back of 100 people, supposedly in New York City, and he asked them a question, if you died today, would you go to heaven? 98 of them said yes. Now, I imagine many of those people knew they were not doing what the Bible says. They were not even going to worship. They didn't even claim to be a member of the New Testament church. They did not even claim to be associated with Christ in an active sense of the word. But if you died today, would you? Oh, yes, we'd go to heaven. Somehow or other, God doesn't mean what He says. Somehow or other, He's going, some way, there's not going to be the storm of hell. The warnings against that, they just don't mean what they say. Let me tell you something tonight. This barometer says that there's a storm ahead and that every last one of us who smashes the barometer of opportunity to become a Christian is going to witness the greatest storm of destruction that's ever taken place. And young people, and dads and mothers alike, you can smash the barometer. You can say it doesn't mean it, or you can ignore it in neglect. But you cannot still the storm of the fact that death is coming and the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23, referring to that eternal destruction that is coming for those who are outside of Jesus Christ. You can put it off. You can say He doesn't mean it. But you cannot still the storm. It's high time that you and I started reading the barometer and believing that it means what it says. And thanks be to God, that same barometer that says if you stay out of Christ, you'll have the storm of the eternal death, says if you get into Christ, you'll have the eternal sunshine of heaven. And that's the great message. Folks, I want to be just as honest with you as I can. God's word says if you live in sin, you'll pay for it. If you live in righteousness, you'll be rewarded for it. Now, you can smash the barometer, but you can't steal the storm. Why not listen to the reading of the barometer that says, be a Christian and live for Christ, and whatever storm comes, you'll have your house built on the rock. It'll stand against the floods and the winds and the storm that comes, and it'll stand there and stand there and stand. Don't smash the barometer. Listen to its warning and prepare for the storm by coming to Jesus as together we stand and sing.
The light.